Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty is a Democrat from Connecticut's 5th District, in office since 2013. I just always can't wait to talk to you, Elizabeth, because you're so smart. It's good to hear from a smart person. Sometimes I have to talk to dumb people.
Well, I won't quote you on that, Alan, but I will say, you know, with the challenges that we're facing as a country and as a world with, you know, the French elections, you know, there's a lot of concern and the importance of journalism and actual facts, getting them out, holding people accountable. What you do every day is, frankly, vital to democracy. And I'm not overstating that. I really mean that.
Well, first of all, I hate to say it, but I agree with you. But the problem is the president doesn't agree with you.
Yes, there is that problem.
The president thinks the press is an enemy.
He does, and that is, you know, one of the most disturbing things about the approach that he's taken, that he's continuing to campaign rather than recognizing he has the responsibility to govern. He asked for this job, you know. He asked people to put their trust in him, and he has a responsibility now to lead, and to lead in a way that is good for the country, good for the American people, and for all the American people, not just his base, not just his enthusiasts, but for everybody. And that means you have to actually start listening, and you have to work with people rather than beat up people and treat them as your enemy. That's never been the most effective way to govern. It really isn't. It's not the way democracies are supposed to work. And frankly, it's not surprising that we see not a lot of governing going on.
One of his initial speeches, I remember very well, he I think it was maybe the inauguration. He says, I want to be president of all the people.
Well, I'd like him to pull that inaugural speech out again and look at some of those highlighted sections. Maybe we can do that. Do an annotated inaugural speech and say, I suggest, you know, respectfully, Mr. President, I suggest you return to these goals that you laid out, at least some of them that you laid out a couple of months ago when you got sworn into office.
Pete Seeger did a wonderful song. I recommend it to you and to all our listeners. It was When in Doubt. Oh, it was Calvin Trilling wrote the poem, and he put it to music. When in doubt, I simply lie.
Ooh, that does sound like a Calvin Trilling.
I simply lie. So I guess I want to talk to you about your committee experience. I know that you recently were on the Transportation Committee, and you were inviting the various heads of the various airlines to come in and talk to you with a real eye towards United Airlines. Perhaps you could tell us the saga.
Well, as all of America and probably all of the world knows due to the internet, you know, United had just an appalling, horrific incident a couple of weeks ago in which a doctor was dragged off of an airplane, was assaulted, and dragged off an airplane because the airlines, actually, it wasn't because they'd overbooked, which is what they claim, but because they were trying to fly some of their crew to another destination. So they tried to kick off a number of passengers to make room for their flight crew. And when nobody agreed to do it for the relatively paltry amount of money that they were offering, people needed to get home or get to their appointments, including this doctor. They randomly selected people and forced them off the plane. And it's just appalling. You know, as I pointed out to them in my questioning, they're not just in the transportation business. They're in the customer service business. And we've had huge consolidations of the airlines. Four of the major carriers account for 85% of the flights in the United States. Just four. And so in lots of places, you don't have a choice. You have very little choice. That's true for Hartford. When I fly, you know, down to D.C. and then come home, I have almost no choice in the middle of the day. Like two flights from the same airline that I can choose from. That's it. There's no way to vote with your dollars, as a lot of times people talk about doing. We can't really hold them to account. So that's where Congress is going to have to step in.
Well, they, of course, knew that they had screwed it up and made a settlement with this doctor as fast as they possibly could. I guess what everybody wants to know, and you probably don't know either, is how much? Was it $5 million, $25 million, $250 million? What?
You know, it clearly, whatever they would have done ahead of time would have been way cheaper than where they are now. They took a huge hit to their market value. But it is a black eye for United and for the airlines as a whole, because it makes people think about, incidents like a couple of weeks ago when there was bad weather in D.C. and flights got backed up and diverted. And I got calls from people from my district who were trapped on an airplane that had been diverted from National Airport to Dulles, which is still in the D.C. area. They were literally trapped on a plane for 4 hours.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let people off the plane. They wouldn't tell them what was going on. They almost ran out of fuel. They had to shut down the toilet. I'm surprised they didn't have people in panic attacks. And it was just inexcusable. This was an hour-long flight from Hartford to Washington, and they just basically got parked and forgotten about. And there's just no excuse for that, Alan. There really isn't. And anybody who's got their focus on customer service rather than the bottom line would have said, okay, it's going to cost us a few bucks to pay Dulles to roll the stairs that were in view of the plane. I had constituents call me from the plane. I can see the stairs. And they won't roll them over and let us off.
So I told you.
And that was a money decision. That was a money decision.
Mm.
And that's what the flying public is upset about now. You get charged for your bags. You get charged for this. You don't get any food. You get treated like it's a cattle call. And then you land and they won't even let you off the plane. It's just, they've got to change. They've got to change how they're treating customers. That's the bottom line.
So we only have a couple of minutes, but I take it you guys all told them to repent. Did they tell you that they would and how?
Oh, they told us, you know, we're not going to do that. And trust us, we got the message. We're going to, you know, change some of our policies. We'll increase the amount of money that we'll offer to people. But it is an attitude shift about not just safety, which is important, and on-time performance, which is important too, but it is an attitude about serving the public. It's about service. And that, I think, again, deregulation has in part led to these near monopolies on the routes. And once there's a near monopoly, it's really hard to expect them to do other than try to, you know, take advantage of that position. And on top of it, I've got to tell you one more thing.
Sure.
They're trying to make a play to privatize, the Republicans on the committee, to privatize the FAA, which controls air traffic control. And a lot of us say, like, look at what you're doing now with the market incentives.
And what does that mean?
We have no reason to think. Well, it would mean that it set up a private corporation to run air traffic control. Well, the American taxpayers spent, you know, millions, billions of dollars investing in the system. It would just turn it over wholesale to a consortium of airlines effectively to run. And I just think that's the wrong direction.
Mm.
That's the wrong direction, especially given what we're seeing now, where they're putting the bottom line first. Shareholders, not the flying public. It shouldn't be about the bottom line. It should be about serving the public.
I got a minute. Did you talk to the doctor?
No, he did not appear, and I think his settlement means that he's not talking to anybody anymore. But honestly, how humiliating and how just shocking. It was shocking and appalling, and nobody should go through that. Nobody, ever.
We've been talking to our wonderful friend and educator, Congresswoman Elizabeth Estey, Democrat of Connecticut's 5th District. She's been in office since 2013, and she is always a great pleasure when we get a chance to talk to her. When we come back, Elizabeth Estey, we'll talk about the budget.
Ah, all right.